Grace, mercy, and peace be enlarged to you from God our Father and from our Advent King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A great theme before us today, to be explained so that you can understand what God's pauses are all about. And so we speak about the fact that God finally speaks after a 400-year pause. And we're going to base our meditation today upon two passages. First of all, from Luke chapter 1, where the scriptures say, "In the days of King Herod of Judah, there was a priest by the name of Zacharias. He saw an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Zacharias was startled to see him and was terrified. 'Stop being afraid, Zacharias,' the angel told him. 'Your prayer has been heard. You and your wife Elizabeth will have a son, and you are to name him John.'" And from the very last verses of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, God says, "Remember the instructions I gave my servant Moses at Horeb as laws and decrees for all Israel. I am going to send you the prophet Elijah before the Lord's great and terrible day comes. He will give the heart of the fathers to their children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will have to come and destroy the whole land with a curse." Thus, the reading of God's word. God finally speaks after a 400-year pause. And he did that through an angel that appeared to Zacharias, the scriptures say, in the days of King Herod of Judah, and you know him as Herod the Great, who would try to kill the baby Jesus after his birth in Bethlehem. Well, during his time, there was a priest by the name of Zacharias. That's how we say Zechariah from the Hebrew into the Greek. It comes out as Zacharias. Well, he, that is Zacharias, saw an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. I have to tell you something about Zacharias offering incense. You see, David, because there were so many priests, had divided the priests up into 24 orders or groups. And Zacharias was from the eighth group, the part called Abiah. And since priests served from the age of 30 to 50, and there were 850 of them about, you got to offer incense one time in your entire priesthood. And God just happened to get Zacharias offering incense at the right time so that he could make a grand announcement and speak for the first time through this angel in more than 400 years. Think how long 400 years. We're back from Luther 500. 400, a long time that God did not say boo, didn't say a word. And now he is going to speak. And Zacharias, seeing this angel, was terrified. Nobody would come into that part, generally. And what does the angel say? What angels always say, what Jesus said in the Old Testament when he was an angel of the Lord, a messenger before his birth, what this angel now says, you remember from the King James, "Fear not, stop being afraid." Good words for you and me today. When we have so many forces out in society trying to scare you to death. But God says, fear not. And he says it to Zacharias, calms him down. And he says, your prayer has been answered. Wow, this is a great one. This is a great one for your personal faith. Do you think Zacharias was praying right then and there that he and his wife Elizabeth would have a son? Yes and no. Not consciously. But you see, if you would have stopped Zacharias at any moment and said, what's your biggest wish? He would have said, to have a son. And you have wishes, requests also, do you not? Sometimes you repeat them. But if you were not thinking about them, and God stopped you and said, what do you want the most right now? You would tell him that thing that your heart is always praying. That's why the Bible says, pray continually. How can you pray continually? Continuously. Continuously is quite different than continually. Continually means at regular intervals, like you go to church to worship continually. Continuously means without stopping. And your heart and my heart have certain prayers that are continuous. Just like Zacharias had a continuous prayer, give me a son. And so the angel can say, oh, that prayer that you're praying continuously, it's now going to be answered because you and your wife Elizabeth will have a son. Notice that was before all those technological scientific things can tell you whether you're going to have a son or a daughter ahead of time. God knew. He said it will be a son, and you are to name him John. You know him as John the Baptizer. And then from Malachi, wow, you may wonder, why do you want to bring this in? Very important. God said over 400 years before he would stop talking for 400 years, he says, remember the instructions I gave my servant Moses at Horeb. Now remember, Horeb was a mountain in the Sinai Peninsula. We often say Moses got the law on Mount Sinai. The particular mountain in the Mount Sinai range was called Horeb, where he received it. And he says you got it there as laws and decrees for all of Israel. And then he goes on to add, and I want you to see if you can detect the three main characters that God now speaks of as he closes his mouth for 400 years. God says, I am going to send you the prophet Elijah before the Lord's great and terrible day comes. He will give the heart of the fathers to their children and the heart of the children to their fathers. Did you see the three people? There's Moses. He was the most important of all in the Old Testament. Jesus said in John chapter 1, verse 17, for by Moses came the law, but by Christ Jesus came grace and truth. Then there's the mention of the prophet Elijah. Well, Elijah must be pretty important in the Old Testament because when Jesus was transfigured on that mountain, who appeared to him? Moses and Elijah. Moses representing the law that you and I could not keep, that Jesus would keep, and Elijah who represented the order of the prophets who would speak God's word. And yet, there is a third person mentioned here, a new Elijah. Moses, the Old Testament Elijah, and the New Testament Elijah, he said, I'm sending him. And Jesus, during his ministry, said to the Jews, oh, you've been expecting him to come at Passover and sit down at your table as a surprise. He said, I'm telling you, he was already here. You missed him. He was John the Baptizer. So there are three figures mentioned here. Moses, Elijah, and the new Elijah, John, and they are all Old Testament prophets waiting for the appearance of the new and greatest prophet of all. And what did he say John would do? Through his preaching, he would turn the hearts of the believing fathers to their unbelieving children. And he would turn the hearts of the believing children to the hearts of the unbelieving fathers. Oh, I could go on and explain that from a story that happened in Jesus, but I hurry along in order to bring you some very important things. John was to preach repentance, bringing people to faith so that they would be saved. And God says if they aren't saved, if they don't come to faith, then I will have to come and destroy the whole land with a curse. Now, the minute you hear the word land, your mind should always go back to the foundational passage of the entire scriptures, Genesis chapter 12, 1 to 3, where God said to Abraham, I will bring you to a land. And if anyone doesn't have your faith, Abraham, I will smite him with a curse. And so he ties it all together here with that foundational passage where he says, otherwise, I will have to come and destroy the whole land with a curse. Whoa! And then he doesn't speak for another 400 years. His last word is curse. Destruction. And yet the New Testament, it ends with a blessing. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. What a balance in the scriptures. It has to end with curse because everyone was under the curse and the Messiah had not yet come. He would not come for another 400 years. But he would come. And God would stop his pause after that 400 years. Now, you may not see the importance of tying those two passages together, but I'd like to tell you a little bit about it, especially for Pastor Green, that after I'm dead, he can go ahead and continue to preach this. You see, if you end Genesis, Joseph dies. Who is the first person mentioned in the next book of Exodus? Joseph. There arose a king who knew not Joseph. That ties the books together so you know which ones belong in the canon, which ones are scripture. At the end of Exodus, it's talking about the tabernacle. Turn to the next historical book. It's not Leviticus, that's a priestly book. Turn to Numbers, and what's the first thing that's talked about? The tabernacle. Oh, you go at the end of Numbers, and the last thing mentioned there is the first thing mentioned in Deuteronomy. You end Deuteronomy, you have Moses dying, and the first thing in the book of Judges is mentioned is Moses. And at the end of that next book, Joshua, well, what happens? You have Joshua dying, and the book of Judges then says, and Joshua died. They all tie together. You know which ones hook together. I can show it to you out of Samuel to Kings to Chronicles, and now I show it to you from Malachi. Because Malachi mentions last of all the new Elijah who is coming. And then you go to the New Testament and you say, wait a minute, Matthew doesn't start with Elijah. No, he doesn't. Starts with a genealogy. And then in verse 18, he reports that Mary is pregnant. Oh, skips that whole announcement to Zechariah. And Mark, where does he start? At the baptism of Jesus, when Jesus is some 30 years old. And where does John start? John starts back in eternity. In the beginning was the Word. But it is Luke who historically goes back at the earliest date to report that the angel spoke to Zechariah after a 400-year pause and said, you're going to have the new Elijah, name him John. That tells us that there is no book between Malachi and Luke, which is the earliest historical report in the Gospels. Oh, what do you do with those 14 extra books or segments in the Roman Catholic Bible? They have God speaking, not pausing, talking during that 400-year silent period, or do they? Look at the sheets before you, that indented paragraph where it quotes one of those books three times, the book of First Maccabees. I'm going to read it to you. First Maccabees 4:46 implies that there would no longer be prophets until the one, that is the Messiah, would come. These books testify, this book, that God is not going to speak until he speaks through his Son, the coming. And then 1 Maccabees 9:27 says that prophets had ceased in Israel. God was not talking anymore. The writer of the book of 1 Maccabees says, God isn't talking. It has stopped. And you and I know it stopped with Malachi. And then 1 Maccabees 14 says that Simon, he was the high priest from the family of the Maccabees, was chosen to be high priest until a trustworthy prophet would arise, strongly suggesting the coming of someone like John the Baptizer, spoken of by the angel to Zechariah, possibly even the advent of the prophet known as the Mashiach, the Messiah. You see, even those books that are interjected in there as if they are inspired tell you they are not inspired. God is not talking from the time of Malachi until he speaks again in the days of John the Baptizer and the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, it ties it all together. It is so important how God does his timing. Getting Zechariah right at the altar of incense at the right time to talk after a 400-year pause. That's important for you and me also. I'm going to read the application that I have at the bottom of your sheet. I don't usually read from the pulpit, but I want you to take those sheets home, because I can read it to you now, but you need to go home and meditate on it. I put a couple of Bible references in for you. This is about you and me. God created time. Yes, back in Genesis, in the beginning, well, if you have a beginning, the clock starts ticking. And this God who created time will also end time, as it says, time will stop in Revelation 10, verse 6. Well, that God who did that and will do it is the same God who spoke 400 plus years after Malachi at the right time to Zechariah. He, I hope you're following on those sheets if you are able to read, okay? He is also the God who knows how much time you will have here on this earth to come to repentance and to know Him, that is God the Father, and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as the Redeemer of your souls. As God worked with time and sent that angel to Zechariah right at the right time, and then sent His Son at the right time, as it says in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, at the right time, God sent forth His Son made of a woman made under the law to redeem us who were under that law. Well, He would say to you now in that last paragraph, use your time wisely, trusting and serving in pursuit of the great salvation won for you at Calvary. Then you will hear when your time is up and you die and He comes back on that great and terrible day, He will be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You see, God said in that last passage in Malachi, He said, I will come, and it will be the Lord's great and terrible day. Now you notice I have the word great up there in that Malachi passage in different colors, don't I? Because you see, the great day came when Jesus came. The great day is here, that the gospel is being spread, the good news that you are forgiven, I am forgiven. But the terrible day for the unbeliever, that can also be the time when Jesus came and condemned Pharisees, scribes, and those who would not believe in Him, who yelled, crucify Him. And there'll be a great and terrible day on the last day also, great for you and me, as we're taken into heaven itself, into the presence of our Savior, but terrible for those who have not received the Lord Jesus Christ and have spurned His forgiveness. Wow, is there a lot there in those texts today? Things for you to think about? I hope you will be wise and listen to me and go home and read that application and think about it, because it is from your God. In His name, may we be blessed. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.